This is The Source on KSTX 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. Try to imagine serving a decade or longer in prison for a crime you did not commit. Maybe you were on death row even. Try to put yourself into that situation. For some people, they didn't have to imagine it. They lived it.
You could never, ever, ever imagine it. And when people always say, I can't imagine it, first thing I tell them is, no, you can't. You can't, because you've never been locked up in a little cage 22 to 24 hours a day, served bad food, don't get any proper health care treatment, being treated as a second, third-class citizen, and at the same time, you're there while someone is talking about executing you. It literally drives me insane. I witnessed it myself. I've seen guys hanging themselves, cutting their throat, overdosing on their medication, dropping their pills, just trying to find a way to check out because the conditions are so barbaric that you'd rather just die than to live down in it. I mean, to be down and exist like that.
That is Anthony Graves. He was wrongfully convicted of capital murder. He spent 18 years in prison. When he got out, he got $1.4 million from the state of Texas. But Graves had to sue to get that compensation. Michael Morton served 24 years in prison, wrongfully convicted of murdering his wife. He got a check for nearly $2 million. Over the last 25 years, Texas has paid out almost $94 million to 101 men and women. It's expected that that bill is going to grow in coming years as more false convictions are coming to light. Well, what do you think about the exoneration paycheck and the role that it plays in our judicial system? Give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980. Email us at thesource@tpr.org. Tweet us at @tprsource. We're joined by Jonathan Silver. He's a reporter for the Texas Tribune, and he has been writing about this topic. And also with us is Mike Ware, an attorney for the San Antonio Four, four local women who were convicted of sexually assaulting two young girls, but who are now out of prison and looking to be exonerated as actually innocent. And also, Mr. Ware is the executive director of the Texas Innocence Project. And welcome to The Source, both of y'all.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you, David.
So, Mike Ware, let me ask you first off if we can get an update on the status of the case with the San Antonio Four.
Yes. In, of course, April a year ago, we had a two-day evidentiary hearing in which we presented what I believed was overwhelming and certainly clear and convincing evidence that that all four women not only deserved a new trial because their original trials were fundamentally unfair, but that they were actually innocent. They did not do this. This crime never even occurred. We presented overwhelming evidence of that. A year later, this past April, the judge found that, in fact, that their trials were fundamentally unfair and that their convictions and sentences should be vacated. But he said that he didn't find that they weren't innocent. He just said that he did not believe that we had submitted sufficient evidence that they were actually innocent. So he fell short of finding them actually innocent. But the final decision in Texas in such matters is made by the Court of Criminal Appeals, which is where the case is now. So we're waiting on their decision.
It shows us the nooks and crannies of the judicial system where these four women can be let out of prison. Almost everyone can pretty much acknowledge the fact that this crime didn't happen and that there was some sort of miscarriage of justice. But yet there's still a long road to get to the declaration of actual innocence and even getting compensation for being put in prison, Mr. Ware.
Absolutely. I mean, actual innocence cases are just really a very small percentage of the cases in which the convictions are vacated. But this case fits squarely within that. I mean, these women are actually innocent. The evidence is overwhelming. I believe that they're actually innocent. And, you know, they were accused and branded and ultimately wrongly convicted and imprisoned, you know, right at the time in their lives when they're like 19, 21, 22 years old, when they were establishing themselves, establishing their careers. They were all working. Some were going to school. And all of a sudden, as they are establishing their identities in life as young adults, this happened, and that became their identity. And so even though they're now out of prison, even though they all immediately found jobs and are hardworking, none of them have or the jobs they should have at that point. None of them, you know, really have been restored back to the life they should have had at this point, but for this horrible tragedy that wrongfully put them in prison during these very, during this very important time of their life.
Let's go to the phone lines, 210-614-8980, if you want to join our conversation as we talk about wrongful convictions and compensation for it. Mike is on the line. Mike, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you very much for having me, and I really love your show.
Appreciate it.
The question I had for the panel was basically, how does a state determine what a person is worth from year after year after year? I believe originally you had said there was one person that was in prison for about 18 years and the state gave them $1.4 million. And basically, how does an entity or a state or a government say this is what your life was worth for each of those years? Like, I've always heard it on the news, but I've never been able to determine how do they make that determination.
Okay.
You know, because when somebody's convicted, they usually say, there's no price on the life taken. There's no price on the life taken. So somebody's life is robbed for 20 years, 15 years, 10. Who determines or how is it determined?
Okay. Mike, thank you for the question. Let me kick this over to Jonathan Silver. He's a reporter for the Texas Tribune, and he's been writing just about that topic. Mike, Jonathan?
Hi, Mike. Hi, Mike. excuse me. I don't think they put a value on someone's life or time wasted. I think they try to do the best that they can, and by they I'm talking about Texas lawmakers. This is about 7 or 8 years old, this new law that's in effect now, which basically gives an exoneree who's declared actually innocent or found to be actually innocent a lump sum amount of about of $80,000 for each year they were incarcerated, and then they have they also get a monthly annuity payment, and then there's also a special compensation package if you were convicted for a crime that forced you to be on the sex offender registry when you didn't commit that crime. Now, with all that said, Texas has the most generous compensation package in the country. And I think that's kind of where a lot of people lean when they talk about compensation and what's fair and what's right. I don't think they look at it in terms of whether they can put a price on it. I think they try to create some kind of relatively generous amount of money as a form of restitution or reparations.
Okay, we're going to keep talking about this topic. We'll dig in a little deeper about how they come up with this dollar figure. What does this mean for justice in Texas? Why is this part of the judicial system? Does it serve a deterrent effect for wrongful convictions? The number to call in is 210-614-8980. This is The Source on KSTX. You're listening to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. In 2008, the Texas legislature passed the Tim Cole Act. That's named after a former Texas Tech University student from Fort Worth who was wrongfully convicted of aggravated sexual assault in 1985. That law resulted in the way that Texas compensates or pays back folks who get wrongfully convicted in the state. It's Texas gives $80,000 per year as a lump sum for someone who is found actually innocent after being wrongfully convicted. Texas is the most generous across the nation for states. States like New Hampshire provide a flat fee of $20,000 no matter how long the person was imprisoned. So we're talking about the kind of role that this plays in the judicial system. What does this mean that Texas has paid out so much money over the years? The last 25 years, Texas paid out $94 million to 101 men and women. We're joined by Jonathan Silver, a reporter for the Texas Tribune, and Mike Ware. He is head of the executive director of the Texas Innocence Project. And Mike Ware, let me ask you about what this situation that states vary so much in the way that they deal with this situation.
Yeah, you know, Of course, you know, and this is true in Texas too. Any wrongfully convicted individual, once it's been proven they were wrongfully convicted, has the option of actually going into federal court and filing what's called a 1983 civil rights claim. And but the problem with filing 1983 civil rights claims in federal court is that the burden on the person bringing the lawsuit is so high that they can almost never win. Even when people agree that they were absolutely innocent, there is so much more that they have to prove in order to be entitled to compensation.
Right. So they're charging that they have been a victim of wrongful imprisonment.
Well, they're charging that they've been the victim of some kind of purposeful police misconduct that has resulted in their wrongful imprisonment, which is can be easy enough to prove. It's never easy to prove, but the real problem there is getting to the municipalities, which are the entity with money. So they could end up with large but meaningless judgment against a detective who, say, coerced a false confession out of them. So really, when Texas passed this compensation bill in 2009, it was with complete support of the municipalities around the state, who would prefer a sort of no-fault system. As long as someone could prove that they were innocent, it's not just a vacating a conviction on any ground, but they had to prove they're actually innocent, sort of a no-fault type of compensation that was spread across the state as opposed to the individual municipalities that were having to fight these 1983 claims on an individual basis.
And doesn't that seem a little problematic, since the people who are responsible for the investigations and then the convictions of these individuals, they're answerable to the local entity and not to the state? So is there a decoupling of who's writing these million-dollar checks and who's actually maybe at fault through faulty prosecution?
You know that's true. That's true. But, you know, honestly, that's almost always the case. You know, I mean, it's even when a police officer is guilty of gross malfeasance of some sort and gets a large judgment against them, they very seldom have to pay it. They very seldom actually feel the effects of that. It's either the municipality covers it, insurance covers it. Ultimately, you know, frankly, it's the taxpayers that cover that, and I think the system Texas has come up with, a statewide system, is probably one of the more equitable and fair ways to compensate these very these people that have suffered this egregious injustice and lost a large part of their lives because of this egregious injustice that they've suffered at the hands of the government.
Jonathan Silver over at the Texas Tribune, so you say that it's expected that these numbers could grow due to how more false convictions are coming to light. Do we have any idea what the future looks like?
I would say there's a lot of uncertainty there because, as mentioned before, there's a lot of uncertainty in terms of whether someone can get that actual innocence declaration, and which is usually the key words before the comptroller's office turns over that lump sum check and then talks about annuity payment. What I was talking about beyond future people who are going to join this list of currently 101 men and women who've been wrongfully imprisoned is because a lot of them have this annuity payment where they're paid monthly as part of restitution or reparations or compensation for being wrongfully imprisoned. They have that payment for the rest of their lives, so it will continue to cost the state as long as these exonerees continue to draw from that annuity payment.
Is there anything that someone can do if they are falsely convicted and they get out of prison and they're proven to be actually innocent, and then they get a payout, and then if they commit another crime, Mike, where are they? Do they have to give the money back or anything?
Well, they certainly lose their annuity payment if they are convicted of a felony case. And of course, their annuity is not, ends with, if they die, they're not able to transfer it or pass it on to their heirs.
So with your case, with the San Antonio Four, the four local women who were convicted of assaulting two young girls, sexually assaulting two young girls, and now they're out of prison and looking to be exonerated as actually innocent, what kind of compensation are they looking for?
You know, we haven't even thought about that. You know, it comes up sometimes in these kinds of discussions. You know, I mean, the main thing is they want the world to know. I mean, they've gotten out. They've gone back to work. They're underemployed. They all should have better jobs than they have, but they're not complaining about that. They're glad to have their freedom, and they're glad to be able to work, but they want their names cleared. I don't even know.
You haven't even thought about it, haven't discussed it. I mean, it could be hundreds of thousands of dollars or $1 million each.
You know,
it's a big difference.
The statute says what it says, which is, you know, approximately $80,000 a year, and they have all been in almost 15 years. I think Liz was actually in a little bit longer than 15 years. So, I mean, you know, it's a matter of doing the math. But, you know, we'll cross that bridge when we get to it, if we get to it.
Is it a concern that people are going to think you guys are money grabbing? I mean, this is because Anthony Graves, he got the $1.4 million, and he's using that money to fight for wrongful convictions. And he's out there being a public spokesperson, and he's putting that money, it seems like, to good use. And I'm sure you've had a lot of dealings with him, Mike Ware.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. Anthony's a great guy, and it's really tragic what happened to him, and it's really admirable what he's doing now. I mean, there are many examples of that. I mean, I think of Richard Miles, one of our Dallas County exonerees, that has started a nonprofit, Miles of Freedom, in which he helps prisoners who get out reacclimate to life on the outside, helps get them jobs, helps train them, and that sort of thing. So, and I could certainly see these four women in that same position to some extent. To some extent, they've already begun that process. They have had the opportunity to travel in connection with the documentary that's been made about the case. They've used it as a platform to talk about wrongful convictions. They've used it as a platform to talk about gay rights. Yes,
sure, but in the end, it's not about dollar figures. It's about justice. But I'm concerned, Jonathan Silver, any indication mm-hmm. that there is some foot dragging from the state in regard trying to not provide the proclamation of actual innocence so that they don't have to cut many more of these multimillion dollar checks?
I can't speak to intentions, but what you generally see is one way you can do it is through a court. Another way you can do it is through the prosecutor's office, the district attorney's office. A lot of cases that I've worked on, reported on, what you hear is there might be evidence that proves innocence or proves that someone that's been in prison didn't commit the crime. But what I've heard a lot from various DA's offices is that they still believe the evidence that they had, the evidence that they took to trial, the evidence that got them their conviction. They stick by the conviction and the evidence that they have. So that's why you don't see a lot of, I guess you could call that foot dragging, but that's usually the reasoning behind why a lot of people who may even be released right now, or people who are fighting to be released and have compelling evidence to show that they didn't commit the crime that they are in prison for, you'll hear a lot of people who were involved in securing that conviction stick with the evidence and what they knew at the time this person was an inmate or someone who's already been released
Sure.
Sticking with what they knew at the time.
Sure. And so, Mike, where it's understandable that people who are in the system want to protect the system, but does it get to a point where they're flying in the face of logic and reason and the obvious in order to protect the system sometimes? They don't want people to admit that the judicial system sometimes is deeply flawed.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, we see it with some frequency. It gets to the point where it's more important to protect the system. It's more important to protect thought of as the traditional stakeholders in the system than it is about getting to the truth and getting at the actual end of justice.
And so what can be done about that? I mean, is it up to the legislature or in the courts?
I'm not sure I follow your question.
Well, I mean, could the legislature, we've seen them take aggressive action, especially after the Michael Morton case, to make it prosecutors more transparent in the evidence that they have?
You know, it's obviously important to fight for legislative reform in the criminal justice system. And Texas has taken some significant steps. And in a lot of ways, Texas actually leads the nation in progressive criminal justice reform. But you see the same suspects every time fighting us when we go down to the legislature, when we try to improve the system and prevent wrongful convictions. The big issues now are among them are video recording of interrogations. Reforming the way jailhouse incentivized informants are handled.
Jailhouse snitches. You know.
Snitches are responsible right. for a large number of wrongful convictions.
Right.
And prosecutors and police don't want people telling them how to handle snitches, and so they are going to resist.
Mike,
any
I got to let you go.
Reform.
Mike, okay. we got to go. We're out of time. Executive Director, Texas Innocence Project, Jonathan Silver, reporter for the Texas Tribune. This is The Source on KSTX.